Well, good morning, everybody. It's so great to have you all here this morning to worship the Lord together. And it's an honor to be able to share with you all for the first time this morning. I trust you've had a great weekend, regardless of some of the sporting results, and that the school holidays are going well for those who it affects. If you were in church or watched online last week, you'll remember that Julia shared with us and that she gave us a bit of a life update, as it had been a while since she was last speaking out here in Selwyn. Well, you have me this morning, and I have a full 25 years to try and catch you up on. So strap in. So I was born right before the turn of the century in 1999. It's a long time ago for some, and just yesterday for others. My goal from a very young age, as well as wanting to be an astronaut, has been to make it to the year 2100, so that I can say I've lived through the 20th, 21st, and 22nd centuries. Wow. Yep. So I was born and raised in Christchurch, and brought up through the Salvation Army with my parents and my older sister. At 8 months old, I was diagnosed with multiple allergies after trying yogurt for the first time, which I reacted to. Right. We moved to Life Church in 2008, and the year before that, we also moved to Middleton Grange School. I gave my life to Jesus for the first time when I was around 8 years old, with Dad at home on the couch. So, yeah, doing the maths, this is now my 17th year being a part of Life Church. A few key accomplishments I had during my schooling included being part of the Cantermaths team for 4 years and being a part of the winning Year 10 team in 2013. I also received the Citizenship Award for my year in both Year 7 and Year 10. And fun fact, there are a few people here who are or have been staff members at Middleton. And Dave Bennett's was actually my music teacher back in Year 7. Let's just say... if Zoe ends up with some musical talent, it definitely did not come from me. I did, however, play football and cricket throughout my school years, including 4 5-wicket bags and a hat-trick. I definitely wasn't playing in the top grade, but still. And I've also started playing football again this year, which has been a lot of fun. I went to what was then called La Vida Youth, now Life Youth, during my high school years and had some pretty great leaders. I also started getting involved with the tech team at church, at youth, and at school as well. I would often be found at the media computer down the back on a Sunday and Tuesday nights. I graduated from school in 2016, and the only logical choice I thought that I had was to go to university. It was just a matter of what I wanted to study. I always enjoyed maths and science at school, so I decided to give engineering a go. That lasted a single semester before I changed to focusing on chemistry, which lasted another 2 semesters. I had also somewhat reluctantly started youth leading after I left school. I didn't really think that I was up for it at the time, but there we go. Yeah. What it did mean, though, is that I got to spend more time getting to know a person called Lauren, who was also a youth leader who I thought was pretty cool, and we started going out in September of 2017. So I got to July of 2018. I was still living at home, I had just dropped out of university, I had a girlfriend, I was serving on the tech team, I was a youth leader, I had a few different casual or part-time jobs, including event work with VBase, now Venues Ototahi, outdoor work in a nursery, and the after-school program run from La Vida. I wasn't all that happy with where I was, to be honest, and my plans had fallen apart a bit. It's been a full-on 6 years looking back to 2018. We've had COVID lockdowns, including during my 21st birthday. Yeah, sad times. 21st birthday, me and my parents, how good? I've moved house twice now, including owning our current home. I've gotten engaged, married, and now have a nearly 3-month-old baby. I've finished 5 years of youth leading, done 2 years of being youth pastor, and now one of the youth that I was leading is now the youth pastor. I've been baptized. I've gone from being in the tech team to leading the intermediates age group at La Vida to now coming out to Selwyn and preaching here this morning. Yeah. I had 2 afternoons at the after-school program, which went up to 4, which went up to 5, and adding on youth working, along with this being my 5th year of working for the church after 2 years of assistantship and 2 years of being youth pastor. Right. So, a lot has happened in 6 years. Yeah. Psalms chapter 77, verses 11 to 12 says this: I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. God is so good, isn't he? There's no way that my life would be as it is now if it wasn't for him. Yeah. I encourage you to take some time to look back at your own life and thank God for his goodness and for his faithfulness to you. It can be so easy to get caught up in our busy lives that we can forget to thank God for all that he has done. One other thing that you probably don't know about me is that I love Lego. Yeah. It's something that I love to spend a lot of time doing and spend my money on. I spend a lot of both of it over the years. I've got a photo here up on the screen. Yep, there we go. And surprise, this is probably around 60% of what I have. So I would regularly check all the stores that sell Lego for any good discounts and be signed up to their emails and loyalty programs. I would spend time scrolling through Trade Me, trying to find good deals on older sets. I bought a few bulk lots that came with kids' entire collections, heaps of sets all piled together. I spent hours and hours going through all the pieces and separating them into their sets. I would keep some and sell the others. I have a separate Lego account on Instagram where I keep up to date with Lego news and see the upcoming leaks and rumors. I followed Lego YouTubers and watched their videos and reviews on sets. I have displayed at the Brick Show a couple of times. I have an inventory of what I have. I would keep an eye on how much everything is worth. Yeah. And Lego was even mentioned at least a couple of times in the speeches at our wedding. What can I say? I love Lego. Yeah. You may have a thing like Lego or shoes, stamps, fashion, coins, or maybe you don't. But we all spend our time and our money in different ways. Right. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I have recently become a dad, as well as buying our own home and getting married. And these are all expensive and time-consuming things. So my money and my time are not quite what they used to be a few years ago. Yeah. Some of you may be shocked to hear that I have only bought 1 Lego set since Zoe was born.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. And that may not sound like a big deal to you, and it probably isn't, but it is a sacrifice that I have made, albeit a rather small one. Through the last few weeks, we've been talking a bit about Easter, what happened and its importance. Jesus claimed to be God, got crucified, and most importantly, rose again.
Right.
He proved that what he claimed was true.
Right.
When Jesus was on this earth, he tried to make things better for people, and he did. But he knew that it still wasn't enough. He knew that he had to make things worse for himself so that he could make things truly better for us.
Right.
Jesus went through the ultimate hardship. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was nailed to a cross. He paid the ultimate price. He sacrificed himself by dying on a cross for us, for me, and for you. Since becoming a dad, I have started to catch more of a glimpse of the Father's heart for us. My sacrifice for Zoe has been nowhere near Jesus' sacrifice that he paid for us, but I have still had to make sacrifices. I haven't been able to spend my money like I used to. I haven't been able to buy all the Lego sets that I've wanted to. I haven't even built up the one that I bought soon after she was born. And babies can take up so much of our time through feeding, through comforting, through having a conversation and playing with, and attempting to put to sleep as well. The other night, she was overtired and just refused to go down for the longest time. You've had a feed, you've got a clean nappy, you've been rocked and comforted. What else do you need? You're tired, just close your eyes and go to sleep. I'm sure she'll get there eventually. Life looks a lot different now, just in the last 3 months, let alone the last 6 years.
Right.
And I have had to sacrifice some things. I'm willing to make sacrifices from my life for Zoe, but what am I willing to sacrifice for Jesus, the one who died on a cross for me to give me a hope and a future? Let's have a look at some people from the Bible and what they sacrificed for Jesus, his disciples. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Yeah, that's what fishermen do.
Yep.
It's a bit like saying they were teaching for they were teachers, or they were building houses for they were builders. Anyway, continuing on. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people.
Right.
At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They were called by Jesus, and at once, immediately, they left everything that they had and they followed him. That's a massive sacrifice. They left their job, their income, their source of food, their family, and they followed Jesus, not knowing what would be next. That would be impossible, right? But faith. They had their faith in Jesus. That if they were called to something by him, then he would provide.
Right.
And now we have these stories to look back on, and we can see that Jesus did have their backs time and time again throughout the Gospels. But why? Yes, they had faith that Jesus would provide for them, but they still didn't have to go.
Right.
So why did they? I'm sure they were probably doing all right in the lives that they had. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." These disciples, they undoubtedly would have had a plan for how their lives would look, just like I had, and many of you would have. And that's good. We should have plans. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. He had more in store for his disciples. He has more in store for me and more in store for you. The disciples could have had faith that he would see them through, but faith is no good without that step of obedience,
right,
of knowing that there was more in store for them and for the people that they would meet. They never would have had the influence for the kingdom that they did if they had stayed where they were,
right,
throwing their net overboard for fish. Jesus called them to fish for people, and they did. And it's the same calling that we all have. We may think that surely we won't be called by Jesus to leave everything we have, which is possibly true. But it is still happening today.
Yeah.
Just think about the missionaries overseas, the ones from Life Church and so many other churches around the world. They leave their safe, comfortable homes, their jobs, their families, their friends, to go and do the Lord's work in an often dangerous, hostile country. Anytime I hear about our mission partners overseas, I am in awe at their sacrifice. Would I do the same? Would you do the same?
Right.
Even with faith in the Lord and our obedience to him. What else helped Peter, Andrew, James, John, his other disciples? Helps missionaries. What else helps us when we are called to make a sacrifice? It's the perspective that we have.
Right.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Jesus is teaching only a couple of chapters later after he calls the disciples. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Yeah.
We need to keep an eternal perspective, a kingdom perspective, to be storing up our treasure in heaven. If the disciples only had a worldly perspective, if they hadn't have been storing up their treasure in heaven, what would they have done? They would have been counting the cost. This teacher, he's saying for us to leave our job, to leave our income, to leave our source of food and our family, to go and follow him? No way. But they were able to look outside of themselves, outside of this world and to eternity. To follow Jesus, the Savior of the world, who wanted to spend eternity with them and wants to spend eternity with us. There's no better decision that they could have made and no better decision that we could make. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling us that we will have trouble while we are in this world. It's inevitable. But we can and we should look beyond that to the hope that we have in Jesus, that he has overcome the world. He has overcome sin and death so that we can spend eternity with him. What we do with our time here on earth, it will affect our eternity. Not from our works, the good things we do to try and make things better, but from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means that with our time in this world, we also have the opportunity to influence other people's eternities.
Right.
Just like the disciples did when they followed Jesus. There are many people in each of our lives that do not have this hope that we have. They're living their lives away from him, away from the plan that he has for them. Maybe they've heard about Jesus, but haven't accepted him into their lives. Or maybe they haven't really heard about Jesus at all. And remembering Jesus' sacrifice for us and the faith, the hope, and the love that we have in him, what are you willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus and to help others to that same place? Maybe it's setting aside a Wednesday night once a month to come to prayer and worship, where we pray as a church for those who don't know him. Maybe it's becoming a bit uncomfortable and vulnerable and talking to a colleague about your faith. Or maybe it's something else that God is calling you to. The only way that we're able to know if we're being called is to listen. To take time out of our busy lives to draw aside and to wait on the Lord. Will it be a sacrifice? Yes. Does it mean that someone could have the chance to hear about Jesus and have a hope for their future? Yes. Worship team, can you come back and join me? Something that we do need to be cautious with around our sacrifice after having faith and being obedient and keeping an eternal perspective is our attitude that goes along with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. If we're the most generous person in the world, but go around boasting and making sure that everyone knows, then it's more about us than it is about others. Sacrifice without love is worthless. So let's be patient and kind, not boastful. What was Jesus' heart for us when he was up on that cross? He didn't want the fame. His heart was one of immense love for each of us, whether we were wanting to accept it or not. Jesus sacrificed it all for us, for me and for you. Let's respond to him and his great purpose he has for us with faith, with obedience, with an eternal perspective, and with love. Would you stand with me if you're able as I pray? Lord, we thank you again this morning for your incredible sacrifice, Lord. Your incredible sacrifice up on that cross. For the astounding love that you had and that you have, even when we didn't love you back. We pray that you'd give us the courage and the wisdom to go forward from here and to share our faith with those around us, Lord. That we would be able to hear your voice and know where we're being called. And that we will be able to respond, Lord. Respond not in our own strength, but with your strength, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of all of our praise. Yes, this morning and forevermore.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.